Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Merry Christmas and Happy Sabbath. Get to read Colossians 3:17 this morning. And whatever you do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Praise the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church family, and happy Sabbath. I suppose I'm probably obliged to say Merry Christmas. You know, I've been pretty open about my frustrations with the holidays, especially Christmas, from this pulpit. And somehow I get scheduled to speak on December 25th. Don't know how that happened, but here I am. So I thought what I would do is clear the air a little bit and explain my position just a little bit this morning. After some thought, my frustrations with Christmas, it isn't the idea of Christmas, the philosophy, the theology, or even their traditions, or where Christmas comes from. It's the people. Christmas people make Christmas miserable for me, sometimes, anyway. It may be a living exaggeration, but sometimes. Let me move forward. I believe the people present during the holiday season can be broken up into three groups. So listen carefully. You have your Scrooges, you have your Christmas zealots, and then you got the Christmas cattle. All right? Let's talk about those zealots for a moment. No, let's talk about the Scrooges first. I think running into a true Scrooge is probably a little bit more rare, but nonetheless, there's a little mini range that exists there. Your Scrooges are probably the people who care little about Christmas or the holiday. They'll just schedule mundane whatevers through Christmas week. No decorations, no little fake four-foot Christmas tree in their house, no Christmas cards. Today, for dinner, they'll probably eat a Hot Pocket without giving it a second thought. Once in a while, you'll run into your extreme, your real Grinch, I guess, if you will, Scrooge, who is probably militant about Christmas and hating it. So maybe they'll leave their Halloween decorations up through the 31st just to spite, I don't know, maybe vandalism, fill in the blank. If you were to ask my wife probably where I fall in all of this, she'd probably tell you I'm flirting with this category. I think that's probably an exaggeration on her end, but nonetheless. But let's talk about those zealots for a moment. The Christmas zealots. Now, we all know a Christmas zealot. All right? We know them because somehow it permeates their very thought and conversation early in the fall season. Some of your extreme zealots have been planning for Christmas all year. Now, these are the people that relish in the ideas of Christmas and the traditions and the nuances and fill in the blank. Okay? Your zealots have been planning this entire season and are legitimately looking forward to the holiday season. Now, I can respect a Christmas zealot, except if you're listening to Christmas music the day after Halloween, that's a little too early, Christy. Just a bit. But nonetheless, I can still respect a zealot. And here's why. At least at the end of the day, a Christmas zealot has passion and enjoys something, okay? So I'll give credit where credit is due. However, this brings me to that third group, the Christmas cattle, the most abundant and the most miserable group of people to exist during the holiday season. Now, if I'm going to summarize this group and capture the spirit of what this group really is present for, it's really just to capture credit. When really they don't care a whole lot, but they don't want to not be called festive, so they're doing just enough to be Christmas goers. And we all know Christmas Cattle, okay? Because they're the ones present Christmas week at the grocery store. I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing that burns a Scrooge's biscuit more than going to the grocery store Christmas week or days prior to the holiday. I could tell you something. The zealots are not doing their shopping this time of year because they've planned. They are coasting through December, okay? They're enjoying the holidays. No. This is the Christmas cattle, okay? Clogging up everything. Getting their last-minute bits because they got their little agenda, trying to catch something for Lily Bob or whatnot. Another sign of that the Christmas cattle is present. I like to call them the soggy Christmas people sometimes. You know, this time of year is supposed to be holly and jolly, right? Holly and jolly. But I got to say, there doesn't seem to be an awful lot of that sort of behavior on the whole. In fact, what I generally see are people who are bent out of shape and frustrated, even resentful during this time of year, which is a little ironic to me. You could be inside your home enjoying lunch and you hear a commotion from your neighbor's house. So you go outside and what do you find? You find the middle-aged man whose wife just tasked him to hang up the stringer lights because, you know, God forbid, people will think that you hate Jesus if your house doesn't look like an airport runway, okay? So this guy is going to spend the next two evenings putting up lights on his house. He's going to plug them all in. Oh, hey, guess what? He accidentally included a couple stringer of the colored blinky lights against the monochromatic white crystal lights that they really wanted. That guy's not very holly jolly in that moment. Just little things like that add up. Christmas cattle, right? But then the gifting. I think this is probably the best way to weed out the Christmas zealots from the soggy Christmas folks. Let me ask you guys something. Have you ever went all out on a Christmas gift for somebody? When I say all out, I mean you spent the time to search something out or to make something for somebody, and you just knew it was going to blow their socks off. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? All right. Yeah, I'm talking about the opposite of that. I'm talking about that cringy situation that we've all seen where somebody is opening up that Christmas present and it's obvious they're kind of confused. You know what I'm talking about? So then they sort of have to pretend like they liked X, Y, and Z or whatever. But what was even more obvious was that the gifter was probably at Costco, seeing something for sale on the end cap, and Lily Bob was on the list. Oh, okay, well, I'm going to check this off, you know, get credit. So then, there you go. When really, a handwritten Christmas card probably would have been, probably would have had a better impact. Just stuff like that, you know. So guys, maybe I'm venting a little bit on Christmas, and I'm probably projecting here a little bit. But this whole charade of pretending to be festive seems really dumb to me. Now again, I'm giving credit to those who are legitimate. But the act of enjoying Christmas, and that's my beef with the holiday season. And to me, it's no wonder why folks are oftentimes in that sort of bitter mood and resentful mood. Because, you know, if you're really just doing it for the show of it, then what's the point? Ask yourself this question, church family. If Christmas is just an obligation to you, what is the point? What are we doing to ourselves? I think that's a fair question. Let me shift gears just a little bit. You know, I find this all very ironic because Christmas is foundational in the existence of Jesus Christ, right? And oftentimes somehow brings out the worst in people. I find that a little contradictory, right? Oftentimes reflects a group of people who are indeed miserable and apathetic and disconnected. Furthermore, the contrast between who God is, a God of rich love and deep commitment, against the pathetic, mushy Christmas folks present during this time of year, it just is striking. This often makes me wonder what the Most High thinks of all of this. You ever think about that? Sometimes I think he's probably a little disappointed in us. I'm going to ask you guys a few questions after here, and they're not rhetorical. I wouldn't mind some feedback, so don't be afraid to give me something this morning. Would you guys agree with me that the God that we serve is a go big or go home kind of God? Do you understand what I mean when I say that? That God is all in, whatever he does. Would you guys agree with the statement like that? I'm going to quote something, and I want you to follow along with me. This is something us Adventists know very well. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. I think this captures the spirit very well. Say it with me. I know your works. You are neither hot or cold. I wish that you were either hot or cold, but because you are what, church family? But because you are lukewarm, Jesus says to John. But because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will what? I will spit you out, or I will vomit you out, God says. God does not like that middle ground. And the spirit against apathy is a common theme throughout Scripture. And we're not just talking about these deep spiritual connections that we're talking about. We're talking about just mundane things also. I'm going to go back and I'm going to read Scripture reading one more time. Colossians 3:17. And I'll also read verses 23 and 24. This is good stuff to put in your back pocket. Verse 17, and whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him. Verses 23 and 24, whatever you do, do it enthusiastically as something done for the Lord and not for men, knowing that you will receive a reward of inheritance from the Lord. You serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Church family, it is a desire of the Most High that you and I are also all in. Do you guys agree with that? Do you think the Lord wants us to be full throttle? I think so. And not just in our dealings with him, but also just everything. I think that's pretty clear. Now, I believe there's a story in Scripture that captures this philosophy perfectly. So we're going to visit that. So go ahead and turn with me to Mark 12, 41, verses 41 through 44. Go ahead, turn with me, please. In this, I think it's Luke. It's also mirrored in Luke 20 or 21 when we talk about the story of the poor widow who gave. Okay? So Mark 12, verses 41 through 44. And here we're going to find a situation between Jesus, his disciples, and a poor woman who, this will give us a little deeper context this morning, okay? Actually, I should probably turn there, huh? The widow's gift. Jesus, by the way, is making his rounds in the temple, comes out. Sitting across from the temple treasury, Jesus watched how the crowd dropped money into the treasury. Everybody clear about something. This treasure isn't just like an offering plate of obligation, right? This is not tithing, I should say. This is the giving of gifts to the temple. So you came on your own merit to come give to this treasury. Many rich people were putting in large sums, and our poor widow came and dropped in two tiny coins worth very little. I believe some translations say mites, which is, I think, like a lepton. By the way, this is like one-tenth of a penny. This is very, very, we would never bend over to pick this up off the ground, okay? But that this is what this woman gave. Jesus summons his disciples and said to them, I assure you, the poor widow has put more in than all of those who gave to the temple treasury. So not just individual basis, he's saying all of them collectively, this woman has put in more. For they all gave out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, has put in what? Everything. She's put in everything this woman has. All that she has possessed, going on to say, hyphened, all that she had to live on. This woman didn't know what her substance was going to be the next day. But she chose to give all. Now, right off the bat, the surface lesson here is one about personal sacrifice. And that's usually what you hear touted from the scripture when it's read. But what does the Bible say about sacrifice? What do you think I'm going to say? Obedience is better than sacrifice. So why is Jesus really blown away by this woman? So let's unpack this just a little bit. Here we find that Jesus separates the players in this situation into two groups. And he doesn't come out and just say this, but this is what he's saying. Okay? We have the woman and the representation of a person who gives all. And you have the rich and the representation of those who give a portion of their wealth. There's your two groups. Now, there's something to think about here, you guys. The rich, they did give. I want you to capture that. They did give. Now, we can argue whether it was a sacrifice to any degree or not, nonetheless. But something else to notice here, Jesus barely notices them. In fact, their mention is only worth as a good contrast against the wealth this woman offered. Okay? He didn't build on them at all. So what does that tell us? It tells us that God doesn't care about your money. It tells us that God doesn't care about the media being used or the show or even the tradition. Jesus was moved by this woman because she had substance. And she put in all of her chips into this idea and supporting the ministry of that temple. Okay? And this, friends, is the sort of passion that God is looking for. There's no way around it. And there's no middle ground. You guys, I believe this principle is pretty universal to all people, actually. But especially to us Christians. That is to say, whatever we put our efforts into, it is the will of God that we do the best that we can. That is, the Most High is calling us to go big or to go home. Do you guys, are you with me this morning? To go big or to go home. That's what God wants for us on just about every level. You see, friends, the story of the poor widow is not just about sacrifice, as I've already established. While we don't exactly know what happens to this woman because she doesn't reappear, we can probably safely assume, especially based off of Jesus' reaction to this woman's giving, that her reward will come to her at some point, okay? Now, I'm not saying that we should work hard to sort of manipulate Jesus' favor, so I want to be careful with that. But what I am saying is that this is an expectation of God and that there is always a reward for digging deep. But for a moment, let's consider that other group, the group that gave out of their abundance only a portion, okay? They did give, right? And they were present, but they were still lacking. Now, that sounds an awful lot like a certain church we read about just a little bit ago there in the book of Revelation, right? Let's ask ourselves this question. The people that gave only a portion of their wealth, why were they even there to begin with? We've already established that they didn't have the kind of conviction this woman did. Why do you guys think they were there? Go ahead, give me something. Tradition. That's a good one. What else? Show. Guilt. Fill in the blank.
Pride.
There's a lot of reasons why they, but it wasn't because of the passion. You know, it could have been that's what was just expected of them, whatever. But for whatever the reason is, they didn't shine. They were neither hot and they were neither cold. They just didn't shine in that moment when they could have been a blessing to the Lord. Instead, what we see is a group here kind of like soggy oatmeal, right? Oatmeal is kind of exciting when you make it and it's fresh, right? But once it sits around and kind of gets room temperature, right, it's not, ugh. You know, you sort of have to like work your way through it. Maybe not, I don't know. I don't mind room temperature stuff myself. But I'm trying to give you guys a somewhat decent analogy here. So I wish I could sort of interview these folks and just ask them what their purpose was, what purpose they gleaned from their efforts in doing this sort of thing. But the thing is, these people are making things miserable for everybody and making things miserable for themselves. And I wonder if this hits home just a little bit, because I think we all experience this thing. Let me ask you guys something. How do you feel when you get into a pointless routine? What do you feel from that? Like trudging. Do you guys know what trudging is? Somebody who works 9 to 5 every day probably knows exactly what the feeling is, right? You get to work, you come home exhausted, you do it all over again, you get a paycheck, which goes to Uncle Sam, then you get to do it all over again. That's a lot like trudging, right? You just kind of get on the wheel, right? And this sort of just aimless routine. Let me tell you guys something. And you already know this, but I'm just going to reestablish this. This is not the Lord's plan for us to experience that. That is not what the Lord wants for us. Quote with me, Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13. Say it with me. I know the plans that I have for you, God says. Plans for your welfare and not of disaster. To give you hope and a future, Jesus says. You will call to me, and you will pray, and I will listen. You will seek me, and when you find me, with what? All of your heart. There's that language again. Your friends, anything. You have to be all in if you want to avoid the trudgery. I'm going to take a little bit of a liberty right now. I don't think it's any secret why most of us are here. I think that we're here because that's what we think we should be doing, especially on Christmas Day. I truly believe that. I know I do that. I mean, I'm not going to speak for everybody here, but I think you know, in the back of your mind, why am I here? So I want you to ask you guys this. Ask yourself this sort of question. Test yourself a bit. We want credit. So we come here, we drive here, we sit down, we shut up, and we listen. But there just seems to be no substance. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Maybe you know that feeling. And here's the kicker. We know that there's something better. We know that there's something better because we see it. And once in a while, we get a glimpse of that real zealot, okay? And we see the joy in somebody's life. But for some reason, we can't get ourselves out of this pit that we're in. And even our own feelings of resentment for the sort of routine that we're in aren't even enough to leverage us out of that pit. What are we to do? How do we get out of that position? So, let me bring this back to Christmas for a moment, okay? Because I truly believe that the spirit of Christmas, or whatever that's supposed to mean, I believe I know what it's supposed to be, but the true meaning of Christmas, if you will. There is liberty that exists there when we seek it out. Have you guys ever been gifted something from somebody and it just blew you away? It blew your socks off. But at the same time, it put you in a deep state of embarrassment because you knew that that ugly pillow that you bought them in return was probably going to end up at Salvation Army by springtime. You guys been in that situation? No? Nobody's ever... That's happened to me. Somebody went all out for me, and I was the Christmas cattle. I just checked something off the list, got them something, and ooh, this guy, you know, you're embarrassed by that. I think of this every time I think of the true meaning of Christmas. Now, follow close with me here, you guys. When we consider the gift of God through his Son and his gift to humanity, when God sent Jesus, he went all out. You guys understand? Jesus didn't hold anything back. Full throttle, God was on our behalf. And he did that knowing that humanity would not reciprocate him what was due to him. All right? But he still gave his Son on our behalf for a lot of reasons. To redeem us, but also to show us what real passion looks like, friends. Okay? This is what we ought to be considering on Christmas Day. All the time. But if we're gonna do Christmas, this is what we need to be thinking on. The gift of God to humanity. So, if we're not going to go big for ourselves, then let's go big for God and honor him with that. I'm going to bring this to a close here. When I think of the things that we could possibly give back to God, I say this every time we give offering too. You know, when we give our monies back or our time or whatever, it's a drop in the bucket. You know, there's only one thing God wants from us. What is that? He wants our heart. And it's crazy because what are we really giving him when we give him our heart? I mean, it's broken down nothing. I mean, he's got to rework it. It'd be like somebody dropping off a 72 Ford to my house and it's all dilapidated, rusted, and whatnot. Somebody gifting me that. But somehow God sees something in us. And that's all he wants. And so, as we come into the new year, because I suppose this is probably a sermon for the new year also. Is there another sermon between now and the new year? I don't think so. All right, I'll take that liberty. So nobody's going to take that. Nobody's got a sermon next week on that. As we go into the new year also, let's consider that. Let's start by giving the Lord our heart and going big and digging deep and starting there. And then, once we establish that, maybe when you set up that resolution and you're trying to, I don't know, you're going to organize your house, or you're going to fill in the blank, you're going to start that new fad diet or whatever, just do it. Do it. Go all in. Because that's exactly what God would do, all right? Today, when you go home, you go to your families, because I imagine some of us got Christmas parties to go to and whatnot, go big. Maybe have that conversation with somebody that maybe you've been not wanting to have, or maybe you've been scared to. Go big. Do it for God. So that's all I got, you guys, today. It's my hope that the spirit of Christmas lives. And for me, this is the best way to reconcile this time of year, just really focusing on Jesus and who he is. And I know a lot of people struggle through this time of year, but Jesus is the answer, and there's no way around that. So try to reciprocate that if you can. Let's pray. Father God, just want to thank you for the gift of your Son. We want to thank you for who you are. And just for everything that you've done for us, Lord. Certainly we cannot repay you. So, Lord, in this moment, Lord, we ask that you somehow are able to take the scraps to what we have to offer you and just Lord, we just hope that's acceptable worship to you, Father God. And just, Lord, as we move forward today, we just ask that we walk in the light of your wisdom. Lord, and that you give us safety as we travel also. Lord, thank you for all things. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.